This morning, the title of the message is The Cost of Being a Disciple of Jesus. And if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we're going to read about five verses there. And I just want to say that this scripture, I was learning what it meant to be a pastor when I learned this piece of scripture. And basically the first verse that we read is what I committed to memory. If you ask me to quote the 24, 25, 26, and 27, I would fail. Okay. But the first verse 23 is what sets forth as a preface for us to be a disciple of Christ. And it's interesting that Janetta had that piece of information about the persecuted church this morning. I had no idea that was going to happen, but we really do. We are commanded to come and die for our faith, die to ourselves, actually, because we are still living, and we have to choose to follow Christ. But I learned this as me and some other people had decided to do a Bible discipleship process called Master Life, which is still would be a very good study if you ever want to look at it. We have a video, or not a video, but we have the books in some cabinets that used to be in our old library. But it's a really good disciple making process that Perry Wolf took me through and some others, and which we learn how to walk in the Spirit daily. And I say daily because it's not a one-time decision. Christianity is not a one-time event. It's not something that you just happen to do and then you've got a spiritual birthday and that's the end of it for you, because each and every one of us is called to come and to give our lives. So it should be every Christian's desire to mature and become a disciple of Christ. And as we look at the disciples, as we read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, we think, how could these guys not get the fact that their Savior was going to die? All the way through scripture, and you'll see that, but as we read this passage, you'll see that he quoted this in each one of the gospels. And so each one of those men recorded that, this piece of scripture for us to read. And I always tell people that when you read the Gospels and you see it in that light, how many times did you have to be told as a child, which you are a child of God, if you're a born-again believer, you're still a child, but how many times did you have to be told growing up to mind your mom and dad? Well, I'll tell you how long it took me, until my mom says, I'm going to tell your dad. That was usually the third time. Okay, so three strikes and you're out. She was going to tell dad after that. And dad, if you only got a couple of times with dad. And sometimes if mom told on you, then you didn't even get that. Okay, it was discipline at that point. And that's a good thing for me, because I needed to be disciplined, as all of us do. So read with me in Luke 9:23. It says then he said, Jesus said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes into his glory, and that of my Father and his holy angels. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here today who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity just to share your word. Lord, it's just such a privilege to be able to have your word and to be able to read it and to know what it says. And Lord, to put it into practice in my life. Father, I'm not responsible for anybody here except for myself. And Lord, I thank you for that. I am responsible to teach, but what they do with it is up to them. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would move today and they would feel your presence. And Father, that they would know that what you are called them to do, because each one of us is called to do something just a little bit different than the other person. although we are all called to be disciples, sharers of your gospel, no matter what the cost. And Father, I just pray that you would just guide and direct us and just help us today as we look at your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I was thinking about this passage of scripture for our passage today, Brother David told me, he said, you know, I'm going to be done with Jonah. I love the fact that Pastor David preaches expositorily through the Bible. And I love the fact that when I preached about once a month here at Hillcrest, I always got to just pick the scripture that I wanted to pick sometimes. And then sometimes he would give me the hard passages. I always gave him a hard time about that. But for real, you know, it was fun to be able to dive into that, because that's the way I love to teach, is just through the Bible. And you could have saw that in our youth, because that's the way I done our youth. But I say that to say that this is a whole different ball game for me, because I got to pick the scripture that we was going to. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and then the Lord brought this to my mind. And I said, are you sure, Lord? That's like one of the most known passages. I want to preach something else. But this just kept coming back. And so we landed here. But I truly believe that a disciple of Christ will have three principles. And those three principles under your first bullet in our text today. So if you're joining us online, or if you take notes, I'm not quite the wordsmith David Brown is, so you just got an outline of what I'm going to do, okay? And you can write any note in there you want to. But here's the thing. Every one of us is called to deny ourselves. And what does that mean, to deny ourselves? You know, self-denial is something that starts at the very beginning of your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's coming to the knowledge that you are a sinner, and that you can do nothing about your sin for yourself. Realizing that there's a holy God that you're separated from, and your sin is what separates you from that. And when you come to the knowledge of that, then you've got to do something about that, or you need to do something about it. So if you're here today and you can say, well, I don't remember if I ever accepted Christ. I've been going to church all my life, but I don't really remember making that decision. But I'm a good person. And I invite other people to church, because that's kind of the way we witness today. Then there has to be a beginning point in your life where you said to Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. That's denying yourself, because there's no other way that you can come to Christ. There's no other way that you can have a right relationship with God without believing in Jesus Christ as the Savior, as your Savior. Saving you from the sins that He could and will punish you for if you don't come to Christ. Because Christ endured your punishment. And we have to have that relationship with God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Listen to this. They are justified freely. Freely. We don't do anything for it. We can't work enough to get it. It's one of those things in our lives that God just gives us. I can remember as a kid growing up and wanting to go to town, and Dad would give me money to go to town on. Or I would stop at Crazy Corner because he had a charge account there, and I would just put gas in my truck freely, free of charge, to Bradley Jeans. Sometimes I think there was an ulterior motive. He used it later against me, which our God will never do. But he would say, now remember how many times you filled up your truck this week. Get me to do something for him, you know, work and such like. But we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Jesus Christ. Guys, that's self-denial. Knowing that you can't have a right relationship with God until you do something about your sin. And you had to decide that. You can't do it as a child when you don't understand what sin is. I had a lady tell me, well, I was baptized as a baby. Yeah, but that wasn't your decision. That was your mom and dad's decision to have you baptized, and more like a promise that they're going to teach you the things of God so you can come to Christ. Okay? Every one of us have to come, and we are justified freely through his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's self-denial at the beginning. Okay? Every one of us have to experience that. The other thing, Psalms 51:17 says this. It says, the sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. A broken spirit. See, I was broken when I realized that if I didn't do something about my sin, that I would slip into a devil's hell that was created just for him and his angels. It wasn't created for human beings ever. Ever did God intend any human being to go there. But every one of us have an opportunity. But we have to have a broken spirit. There again, repentance comes into play. Acknowledging your sin. Acknowledging Jesus Christ is the only one. This is part of David's prayer when he sinned with Bathsheba and he says, I can't offer a bull. I can't offer a sin offering because God wants my heart. God desires my heart. That's what he desires is my heart. It says in that same verse, it says second part of that says, you will not despise a broken and a humbled heart. Guys, my heart is humbled today because I have a Savior who came, stepped down out of heaven onto earth, lived a perfect life, died the death that I deserve to die, and resurrected the third day, proving that He was God, and He's coming again, and I get to preach His gospel and tell people about Him. Okay? Every one of us get that opportunity. When we realize that we are a sinner, and that without repentance, without beginning that relationship with God, you cannot be a son or a daughter of God. Okay? You can't do it. The message that Jesus preached was repentance because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And when we turned from our sins and repented of those sins we have committed and asked Jesus to be Lord of our lives, at that moment we became a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you are born again, I am born again, and you're the only one that can know that. I am a son of God. Not because of Bradley Jeeves, not because of the good works I do, but because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my sacrifice for my sins. And He's a living Savior, just as we sung today. You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought about the Old Testament saints. And I thought about Abraham. You know, you think about Abraham, he's the father of our faith. But Abraham had to come to God just like we do. He had to have a humble heart. He had to do what Jesus said to do. He had to deny himself. Abraham had a relationship with God that started when he believed God. And he left his family. He left on a journey to a land that God was going to show him. He didn't even know where he was going. Guys, I'd have never thought in a million years that I would be in the position that I'm in today. I would never thought God would have gave me the opportunity to even pastor, be a part of the team at Hillcrest Baptist Church when I accepted that. I didn't think that I would ever pastor at all. Didn't even want to. Okay? So you don't know what's on your journey. But I'm telling you, you need to let God direct your path. And when Abraham believed, and God began to show him those things, he wasn't perfect. He ran off to Egypt, right? He told the Pharaoh that his wife was his sister, right? He wasn't perfect, but he believed God and he tried to do what God told him to do. What about Noah? A little bit before Abraham, he's not the father of our faith, but he displayed faith. Who else could you get to build a boat in the middle, or an ark in the middle of the desert? Right? Who would have the perseverance to work on that from 75 to 100 years? I don't know really how long it took him. As I researched this week, you know, some people say 50, some say 75, but the Bible says there's a 120-year place or period that where God revealed it to Noah, and then Noah began to work on the ark, and they began to break down the sons and the daughters and who was born and who was able to help work on the ark and all this stuff. And they said probably 75 years would be about how long it took Noah. Who in the world would work on something that long? He believed in God. He believed what God was saying was true, guys. And every one of us who have believed, we've got to believe that discipleship is something that you and I have to deny ourselves to do. And we're, I'll just tell you, in this Western culture, we're not very good. Let me calm down just for a minute. We're not very good at denying ourselves. And I'm one of you. When I look at my life, what have I really given up to serve Jesus? I'm very uncomfortable, as you guys know, being in front of everybody. I know it's got something God called me to do, without a doubt. Just like he called Noah to build the ark. Think about Noah telling his family, his extended family, not just his sons and his daughters and his wife. And none of those people followed him. None of those people followed Noah to work on that ark. Maybe they did work on it and he paid them and God used them. That's kind of the way some people believe it happened. But he worked on that for a really long time, believing in God. And then he got on that ark 7 days before the rain started. Did he know it was going to be 7 days? I don't know. But we pray and we pray and we pray about things that's happened in our lives. And we get upset if something don't happen in 3 days or 2 days. Lord, are you listening to me? Or we forget to keep on praying. But he got on that thing for 7 days. Can you imagine the people that was gathered around there looking at, no, what are you doing, dude? All the animals on the ark, everybody's there. No rain. But he believed God. And he continued to believe God. That's really is denying yourself. Denying what you or what makes sense a lot of the time. See, it don't have to make sense for God to work it out for your good and his glory. It don't have to make sense. All you've got to do is believe. Why am I here and there are people over there in China being persecuted for their faith? And the worst thing that's ever happened to me is being heckled. Nobody's ever touched me because of my faith. Our team over in Africa, the last time Dale and I went to Africa, because we were white guys, and that's just because we were white guys in a van, we were kind of persecuted. We were pulled over. We had to pay a little money to get going on down the road. We probably bought somebody's lunch for that day or 10 people's lunch. Lunch don't cost a whole lot over there, but that's the worst Bradley James has ever experienced. And we get upset. I can remember mine and Dale's response to that. But you have to deny yourself. The other thing is take up your cross. Well, what is your cross? What is your cross? Your cross is the gospel. That's your cross. And how you talk about the cross. Can you imagine Abraham leaving his family and telling them what he's going to do and then traveling through the homeland and telling those people the land that God was going to show him why he was there and why, what he was doing in their land, because it wasn't his land yet, although God had promised it to him and he believed it, but it was still their land. I'm not sure he revealed all of his cards there. I'm not real sure that happened, but I'm just saying, can you imagine the faith that it took? In 2 Peter 2 verse 5, it says this, and if he didn't spare the ancient world, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others, when he brought the flood on that world of the ungodly. Because Noah had preached 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness, that scripture says. So he had to tell people about what God was doing. He took up his cross. He took up the fact that there was a God. He was mad about their sin. And he was going to punish them if they didn't do something about it. And they didn't. Only 7 people got on the ark with him. Him and 7 others. See, our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ is our journey. Every one of us have a journey to go on. And my life, I shouldn't compare my life, and I'm a horrible comparer. I'll just tell you. Horrible at comparing myself to other people. I need to just focus that God has got a plan and I'm on a journey with God and He's going to show me the things that I need to do in this life. We will have to make choices. See, when you receive the Spirit, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, that happens, by the way. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your life and you have a fleshly nature and you have a spiritual nature. And I always tell people this, your fleshly nature will always rule first. Your first thoughts is going to be from your flesh almost every time. There's only a few times in my life that I can think about the spiritual side of Bradley James, the Holy Spirit coming into play first. And it's when I'm not aggravated or angry. Because Bradley James has to hold the reins really tight on his flesh. Or I do things and say things that I wish I oughtn't have done and I know that I'm in trouble with my Lord. Because I didn't deny myself and I didn't take up my cross and act like Jesus wanted me to act. Okay? Every one of us have that. If you have any question about your salvation or two natures, it says deny yourself. Deny your first thoughts about what you want to happen in your life. And when you deny those, then you'll start walking a spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. Are we going to make our choices for the good, for our good and our glory? Or are we going to make decisions that we make for God's glory and for His kingdom? See, the last part of that is eternally speaking. I believe I live an abundant life right now. Not everything in my life is good, but I live an abundant life because I know that at the end of this life that I'm going to be with Jesus. And I know that He has more good planned for me than I could ever imagine. But if I go with the first part, and if I don't deny myself, and I go with just living my life or however I want to live it. Guys, I'm telling you, your life is not abundant. It may seem that way. Satan can make it even look really, really good. You see, the gospel is proclaiming the gospel, the cross that we bear, that God tells every one of you and me to go make disciples. Go tell people about Jesus. And we may be ridiculed. We may be made fun of. We may suffer persecution. And we could even suffer death. But let me tell you something. That's going to last throughout an eternity. That person that you bring to Christ is going to last throughout eternity. Paul says it like this in Acts chapter 20. It says, "And now I am on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I encounter there. Except that in every town, the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions are awaiting me. But I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course and ministry I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace." Even in prison. Janetta talked about them praying to go to prison. Why? Because that puts people around them and those people are going to be ready to receive. When I go to the jail, those people are looking for answers about life. They want to know whether they're loved or not. And they have a God who loves them. As all of us do. No matter where we are in this life, God loves you. Are you going to be separated from God? Why would He separate? Because you never took the opportunity that He provided. And you chose to step out of His will. His will is for each person to be saved. John 3:16 wouldn't be true if we didn't say that. For God so loved the world, not the world, not this continent, but the people who live on it. That's timeless. We've always lived on the world. And you're a part of that world. And every one of us need to shine the light that God gave us. Live in the Holy Spirit. Love each other the way we're commanded to love. Do the things that God tells us to do. And the last part of that is obedience. Look at 26, I'm sorry. If I can find 26, I need my glasses. I refuse to wear. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words. No, hang on a minute. It is 23. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. I want to talk about that. Life is daily. We get tired of the daily, don't we? We get tired of the fact, but if we knew everything that was going to happen in our lives, we would just completely shut down. If my wife knew the things, I'm going to use her as an example. If she knew the kids that she's going to have to put up with year after year after year after year, she wouldn't be in her 27th year of teaching, or 26th year of teaching. She used to love it. She used to look forward to it. But children right now is hard to deal with sometimes. And it's our world's fault. But we got to be obedient. And that's the thing that we're not taught. That's what we're not teaching our children, that we have to be obedient. It's not all about us. It's about everybody else. So we need to do what our best to follow our Lord's commands. Walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I used to look at that and say, man, I fail so many times this week. Lord, how in the world? I don't know if I'm saved or not. Because I didn't keep this one and I didn't keep that one. And I would look at that. But there's no way we can keep God's command apart from the Spirit. There is no way. But we need to be remember that we have Jesus with us in the Spirit. We have Him living here. And He will guide and He will direct us. He will empower us with His, with our words and our actions. We can live a Spirit-filled life, choosing to live in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I had a guy tell me several years ago, he said, well, I believe the Lord's okay with me to leave my wife and go marry somebody else. Guys, the Lord will tell you, the Bible will tell you over and over again that it will not go against itself. If your flesh, let me tell you who's telling him that. Number one, the flesh, because he didn't like the situation he was in and he's living in the moment. Or number two, the devil from hell will plant things in your mind for you to think, and he will try to confirm to you that this is right. But if it goes against the Word of God, you better not step out into that. Now, I'm not saying that there's reasons that we get divorced, okay? Pastor David has covered that multiple times. There's reasons. We can't go through life letting people run over us over and over and over again, or physical abuse or whatever. But let me tell you something. If you just don't like the situation and you want to change, that is not a reason to change. God molds us and makes us through our relationships sometimes. He will never lead us to do something against what the Bible says. If our feeling or desire tells us that it is of the Lord and it goes against God's word, then we are being led astray. Being led astray. The main thing is to look at the Bible and see how we live our lives. Does it match up? Because a believer, a disciple of Jesus Christ wants to do. You aren't justified because of your works. You're justified because it's a gift. But you will have good works. Okay? Because you are born again. You're born of the Spirit. As I was reading this week, a guy said, he's not talking about sonship. And these next verses I read, listen to him. He's not talking about sonship. He's talking about discipleship. Every one of us is going to be a disciple if we believe in Jesus. Samson was a disciple, and that guy, I've got a bone to pick with that dude when I get to heaven. Because I didn't think he'd even get to heaven, let alone be in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Fame of Faith. All right? He was chosen, but he was a disciple. Did he grow a whole lot? No, he didn't. He was still satisfying self even at the end of his life. He didn't do a very good job at denying self, but he's in heaven because he did believe in God. You're justified by your faith. Discipleship is a process that you go throughout your life. Your sanctification is a process that you go through in life to become more and more and more like Christ. Luke 24 and 25 says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses or forfeits himself?" You could gain all the world and take it to Jesus Christ and say, "Look at all the things that I have." And he would say, "So sorry, you didn't receive my son. You didn't make him first priority in your life. That means nothing to me. I created every one of those things and I was responsible for giving them to you, but that makes no difference to me." See, if we choose to live in the flesh, we give up the gift of eternal life with Jesus Christ. Guys, if you continually satisfy yourself over and over and over again, that's the reason 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to make sure you're in the faith." Or do you not know? See, it's not my job to know whether you're saved. It's your job to know. And that knowing produces confidence. When I began to know that I was saved and there was nothing that could separate me from the love of God, I began to have such confidence in God. And it helped me share the gospel. It's helped me preach His word. It's helped me through so many things. And whatever happens in my life, God's in control of it. And He's going to use it for my good and His glory. I'm not saying it's all good, but it's for my good because I'll become more and more and more like Him as long as my focus is on the Spirit and not the flesh. Matthew 10:39, it says, "Anyone who finds his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life because of me will find it." John says the same thing. The one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it eternally. See, that's what I'm working for, is the eternal part of life. And the reason I quoted those from Matthew and John, and I didn't include Mark, but Mark says it too, is to show you that each one of those guys, it was important for them to get across that when we give up our lives because of Christ, we're going to inherit so much more than we could ever imagine. We can't even imagine what it is. Not even our sanctified imagination can imagine. No matter, I mean, He gave us that for a reason. He gave us an imagination for a reason, but we can't even imagine. Paul said he couldn't even write about all the things that he saw. And John tried it, and he couldn't explain it with words that you and I can understand sometimes. But if we choose to live in the Spirit, we have eternal and abundant life because we have a life that will be fulfilling. I don't know what you're here for today. I don't know each one of your situations, but you will have a fulfilled life if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and live a life of discipleship. If you're not willing to live a life of discipleship, then my question is, are you born again? Because I think you will become a disciple. I think Samson was a disciple, not a good one, but he was one. So the consequences of being a false disciple. This verse used to scare the bejesus out of me. I've overcome that, by the way. It don't scare me at all. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." So that means there's some people sitting in this room today. There's enough people here that I might feel comfortable saying this. But there's some people in this room today that will say, "Lord, Lord." And He will say, I don't know you. But those people will claim to have works and not be justified by faith. Okay? It says, in that passage of scriptures, they say, look at what we've done. We've cast out demons in your name. We've done miracles in your name. We've healed people in your name. And Jesus don't deny that. But what he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Are you trusting on your church membership? Are you trusting on being a good neighbor? My dad used to say when I was younger, he'd say, well, I'm as good as any of those hypocrites down there at Mount Zion Cuba Baptist Church. I'd do as much good for our neighbors than all of them. And he did. He was a pretty good neighbor. He didn't have Jesus in his life. Guys, if you're dependent on your works to get you to heaven, it ain't going to work. It isn't going to work. This is kind of one of them uncommon verses but I want to end with this today. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 through 6, as Paul is writing to Thessalonica, the church there, he says, we ought to give thanks. We ought to give thanks to God always for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, since your faith is flourishing and the love of each one of you has for one another and is increasing. So listen, think about what Paul's writing here. He's writing to a church who's quite a little ways away from him, but he's heard about the love that they have for one another, okay? So think about what people hear about the people that go to Hillcrest Baptist Church. He says, therefore, we ourselves boast about you among God's churches, about your perseverance and faith and all the persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. It is clear evidence of God's righteous judgment that you will be counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you will also are suffering, since it's just for God to repay with afflictions those who afflict you. See, he's talking to them and he's trying to build them up and he's saying, look, people are hearing of the things that you are doing. These are the things that's being told about you. And the people that's persecuting you, they're going to be held accountable. That's what verse 6 says. They're going to be held accountable. Guys, you are going to be accountable for how you lived your life for God. Or how you not lived your life for God. I'm sure I'm not the only person that wants to talk to Samson when I get to heaven. Okay, I think there's probably quite a few of us that would like to think, what are you thinking, man? Your mom and dad were such good people. And they taught you the right way. And look what you done. Run around with prostitutes. And drank till there wasn't no end. And then when you got in trouble, you cried out to God, right? That's human. That's a humanity for you. But listen to what 7-9 says. I'm going to read 6 with it. Since it is just for God to repay with afflictions those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted along with us. This will take place at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven and his powerful angels. So it's talking about Jesus coming back, right? It's talking about the fact that Jesus is going to come back. And at that point, every unbeliever, any pretender, any person that has it, they're going to be punished. They're going to be separated from God, from a holy God. They're going to be separated from him and they're going to, I hate to say it, but they're going to experience the vengeance of God. Those people that are persecuting the church in China are going to be punished unless they turn from their sins and believe in Jesus, believe the message. It's the same for us. In the Western world, if you're not willing to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus daily. Do I sin? Absolutely. Do I get off track? Absolutely. 1 John 1:9 comes into my play in my life so many times I'm ashamed to say it, but our youth know it. All right? When he takes vengeance with flaming fire on those who don't know God and those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will pay the penalty of eternal destruction from the Lord's presence and from his glorious strength. Guys, that's the reason we've got to go and tell. That's the reason we go to Africa. That's the reason you go to your job, because you're the only person that might be able to reach that person for Christ. God has you in a specific situation in your life so you can be a witness for Him, and you will grow as a disciple as you do that. When I copied my scripture down, I thought, why did I include 27? Why didn't I stop at 26? And I asked the Lord, I said, what am I supposed to do with verse 27? Let me tell you. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Guys, it's been preached for a century now that we've got to believe in Jesus, that Jesus is coming back. And you and I could see the return of Jesus Christ. My grandpa used to teach it, and I didn't think, I set a date, okay? I thought, I'll never make it to 40 years old. I don't know if I'll even get to have kids before Jesus comes back. And then I got married, and then I had kids, and now I've been married 33 years, and Jesus still ain't came back. Because of His grace. Because of the grace that He has on people. Because He wants every soul to come to Him in faith in Jesus Christ. That's the reason. That's the reason. But you're supposed to go and make disciples, and your life is not going to look like Bradley James' life. Thank you, God, that it's not going to, because I hope you don't make the same mistakes I've made. And I look at some other people's lives and I think, thank you, Lord, that I didn't make those mistakes. Whew, man. But where do you stand today? Are you being the best disciple you can be, or are you being a Samson? Going to get by the skin of your teeth, basically. Because I don't think that guy, I don't know. It's only by God's grace that he's there. That's all I can say for him. He had faith. He did what God wanted him to do. But at the end, are you? Will you change it today? Because you can change it today. You can change it today. But think about that last verse, in verse 27. Some of the disciples got to see Christ glorified. I wanted to say Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but it was Peter, James, and John, by the way. Right? They got to see Jesus glorified on the mountaintop. They got to see a part of the kingdom. Or do you know today? Will you see the kingdom? Will other people see the kingdom because of you? As the band comes, as we pray. If you need to come and pray, I ask that you do that. Don't squash the Spirit today. Just do what He asks. He's got a reason. You can pray at your seat if that's what you feel led to do. But don't squash the Spirit. If He asks you to come to pray, it may be an encouragement to somebody else to come and pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this day. I pray that this message that we heard, we would take it and use it in our lives. And Lord, I just pray today that You just encourage us. Father, that maybe you spoke to us in a way that we know that we need to make some different decisions in our lives. Father, whatever the decision is, I just pray that You would just work in each heart and each mind. But Father, as we go out from this place, I pray that we could be the light that we need to be, affecting the people that You put in our path each and every day, to share the gospel, to share Your love, to share what we know to be truth, and it's going to last for an eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. And Lord, it's the only thing that will. We will last forever, and Your truth will last forever. Father, help them not to be separated. I pray for each lost person in this world. Lord, I pray for the people that our team's going to meet. Father, the ones that are meeting today, the ones that are going to meet tomorrow and the next day. Father, I just pray that they would be able to share the gospel and just to challenge them about their relationship with God, because they do believe in God. Lord, I just pray that You would just guide and direct us through this altar service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.